If you're shopping while working, eating, or even listening to this podcast, then you know and love the thrill of a deal. But are you getting the deal and cash back? Rakuten shoppers do. They get the brands they love, savings, and cash back. And you can get it too. Start getting cash back at your favorite stores like Levi's, Plow & Hearth, Adidas, Sephora, and Neiman Marcus. Stack sales on top of cash back and feel what it's like to know you're maximizing the savings. And it's easy to use. And you get your cash back sent to you through PayPal or check. The idea is simple. Stores pay Rakuten for sending them shoppers, and Rakuten shares the money with you as cash back. Download the free Rakuten app or go to Rakuten.com to start saving today. It's the most rewarding way to shop. That's R-A-K-U-T-E-N. Rakuten.com.
Hello and welcome to Those Forking Fangirls, where we talk all things nerdy, book, TV, movies, pop culture, fandoms, and how they integrate into our adult lives. My name is Christine.
And I'm Natasha.
And today we're celebrating the third annual Fangirl Academy Awards. Woo! Ay, 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 ay. So we've been doing this now for 3 years, which is so exciting.
So exciting. We did start, Christine started this on her YouTube channel, and then it's kind of transitioned here.
Yeah, but we never called it the Fangirl Academy Awards, right, which is really fun. It's like one of my favorite episodes we do. I love our Fangirl Academy Awards because our favorite movies are never actually recognized at the Academy Awards.
Yeah, and watching all these Academy Award like nominated films, none of them are my favorite.
They never make our favorites list because they're either extremely depressing, mm-hmm, or extremely long, mm-hmm, kind of boring sometimes because they are so long.
Yeah, and also sometimes don't leave you feeling like good.
They don't. The ones that win usually give you like a kind of good feeling.
That's true. But a lot of these I've been watching have not.
Unfortunately.
This year, specifically.
I haven't watched a lot of the ones this year because I haven't gotten the chance to. I was going to watch them with my neighbor, but, you know, shit happened. Mm. But I'm excited to talk about all the ones we've got today. We've got superlatives. We've got both of our top five movies of the year. It's going to be fun. But first, we've got a shitload of Snap, Crackle, pop culture news. Natasha, did you watch this Netflix promo that I sent you?
I never did.
Natasha, it's so good. Watch it.
I got overwhelmed when you sent it to me. I was like, I'm on lunch. I only had 30 minutes. I can't watch it. And then I forgot about it. I'm sorry.
Okay, it's like a minute. It's a TikTok length. It's so good. There's this really great Netflix promo that dropped with this one woman like getting dropped into like the sets and the stories of all the upcoming seasons of stuff that's happened. Yeah. And it's very cool. And she's like, she's at a table like at work and she turns on her phone and it's like boom boom, and then all of a sudden she like falls into it and she's in Stranger Things, which is coming out this year. She's in Squid Games and Emily in Paris and Knives Out 3, and it's really cool. Highly recommend the promo. Like, I don't usually watch promos, and I started thinking that I was going to stop, but then I was like, wait, this isn't like any of the stuff. It's like she's falling into it, so it's not like we're getting spoiled for any of the shows. Very fun. So Squid Games season 3 is coming June 27th.
Oh, yeah, that's right. We talked about how, because they filmed it back to back.
Yeah, but like we didn't have an exact date, and now it's confirmed coming June 27th. It's also confirmed that there's a new Emily in Paris coming this year, which is cray cray. Yeah, and Stranger Things.
Woo, that's exciting.
It is exciting.
I would be more excited if there was like a Bridgerton announcement, but I guess not.
I mean, we knew that one was going to take a while, didn't we?
No.
Also, okay, so, oh, you know what? You want to tell you this one first?
Oh, yeah. Okay, so this has kind of been on my radar for a bit. There is, you guys remember the book Fallen? It was like
how could we forget?
It got really popular because of Twilight, obviously, back in the day.
Yeah, but it was one of those ones that didn't really like.
It wasn't good.
I didn't get very far.
So there was a movie that they adapted. And I watched it like back in the day. It was not very good. I mean, the source material is not great, okay? However, they've now adapted it again, but
yeah,
for a TV series. And it, I think it was adapted in like the UK, Ireland, Scotland, one of those. I don't know if it was exactly like England. And it's starring the actress who played. Vanessa in the Little Mermaid live action.
Oh, weird.
So it's been on my radar because I was like, oh.
And it's on AMC Plus, which is weird.
So anyone who's over like across seas has probably already heard of it or seen it because it's already aired over there. I've already seen a lot of clips.
It's already aired?
Yeah. And so now it's coming to the US. And it'll be on AMC Plus. So,
wow.
A lot of people said that they liked it. So I don't know if they've improved.
So maybe they made it better.
But it's like this is the same type of thing that's happening with Count of Monte Cristo with Sam Claflin. Like it's already aired in Italy, but it hasn't had a release date here
Italy?
Yet. Yeah.
Wow. Okay. All right. Did you watch the Hellman's commercial?
No, what is that?
Natasha! It's so good.
Did you
There's
send it to me?
There's a Super Bowl commercial, yes. And they brought Meg Ryan and Billy Crystal back to the diner.
I did see this, but I didn't actually watch it.
It was so good. It was like a little When Harry Met Sally epilogue reunion, and they're older and they're at the diner and she goes to eat her sandwich and he's like, how is it? And she's like, not good. It's not doing it for me. And then there's like mayonnaise on the table and she puts some mayo on it and then she takes a bite and she does her whole like, like the famous When Harry Met Sally fake orgasm at the diner.
Really?
Yes, it's so good. And everyone's looking at her and they're turning around and it's like all different cameos from different actors. And at the end, Sydney Sweeney's there. She's like, I'll have what she's having. It's very good. And I really enjoyed it. You guys should go check it out. Highly recommend that commercial.
There's also a commercial coming for the Super Bowl that is Chris Pratt and Chris Hemsworth for Ray-Ban.
Oh, my God.
And there was a tease on it on Instagram. And I'm like, oh, my God. I'm so excited. I'm sorry. I get really excited when any of, like, the Chris's are together again. It makes me very excited.
These are the first good Super Bowl commercials I feel like we've had in a while. Like that was excellent.
Yeah.
And I think the Netflix one was made for the Super Bowl as well. So they're coming out early. And there's a new Brett Goldstein rom-com, which I thought was really interesting. So if you don't know Brett Goldstein, he plays the angry man on Ted Lasso.
Roy.
Yes, he plays Roy. And he's also a writer on Ted Lasso. And I think he's also a producer on Ted Lasso. And he also writes for Shrinking. And I think he's a producer on Shrinking. Anyway, he wrote a rom-com that he's going to star in opposite of Jennifer Lopez. And it's filming soon. And he wrote the script with J-Lo in mind to play the lead. So that should be fun.
Interesting. People like are not loving Jennifer Lopez at the moment.
I know, but maybe it'll help her because his stuff is really good and heartwarming.
I hope so.
Other huge news. There's a new Stephanie Perkins novel coming. I'm very excited because her last two novels were like random horror things, but she's back to writing romance, and it's an adult romance novel called Overdue about a librarian, and it's a slow burn romance.
Librarian.
Yeah. And I guess she's been married for like 9 years, right out of high school or college.
Adult?
Yeah, adult. I said adult. It's so exciting. It's an adult romance. And it's she, I think, starts having feelings for a woman. And maybe it's she's like having like a sexual awakening and falling for someone else and realizing maybe that like she they got married too early or something. That's what I got from the synopsis. I'm very excited because if you don't remember, Stephanie Perkins wrote Anna and the French Kiss, Lola and the Boy Next Door, Isla and the Happily Ever After. Like, these are were staples of the contemporaries of our coming up age. Like, it was the first contemporary book I read was Anna and the French Kiss, which is cray cray. All right. Another huge book news dropped. There's a new Dan Brown book coming this year. It is called The Secret of Secrets. It's coming out in September, and it's a new Robert Langdon adventure that takes place in Prague. And this will be the first time that I've been to a city before I read the Dan Brown novel about the city. And I always learn so much, and I always want to go immediately and see all the things he's talking about. And it's going to be so weird. Like, I might have already seen some shit.
Ooh. Oh, okay. So, first of all, I know we kind of just breezed over that, but a chat wanted to talk about how there's the new Hunger Games book coming out. But it's about it's Haymitch's point of view, and it's coming out this year.
Sunrise of the Reaping. It comes out March 18th, 2025.
Oh, shoot.
Sunrise on the Reaping. Yeah, we talked about it when it was announced, but it's getting close.
I have one more thing I wanted to add there, which I forgot to write down.
Yeah.
And this might not be of significance to everyone, but people in the Bachelor community have kind of been in upheaval over this. But Matt James and Rachel Kirkconnell broke up. And Christine, this is like, this is crazy because, well, let me try to like learn you about this. So,
teach me.
I can also say learn you. It's also correct. I like to say because it sounds funny.
I've never heard that.
So Matt James was the first Black Bachelor. Okay. However, this man was never on the show ever before. Okay. He was never a contestant. The only reason why he got cast was because Hannah Brown. Do you know who that is?
No,
she was on Dancing with the Stars. Hannah Brown.
Are you sure her name's Hannah Brown?
Yes, it's Hannah Brown.
What did she look like?
Blonde, honey blonde hair. Maybe I missed roundest face. She won.
I definitely missed her season because I don't remember her at all.
Okay, so Hannah Brown had like the most popular Bachelorette season. Okay, so I was very like in the season because that was when I was working at Amaryllis and I was like trying to get these girls on these trips, right? And so like I was all up in there. So her season aired like before the pandemic, and then when the pandemic hit, and also her season birthed Tyler Cameron, who was like the most popular contestant. And he's like really cutie patootie. He looks like an old movie, like old Hollywood starlet kind of dude. Okay. And so they had this, and everyone at that time, this is like 2019, they like really wanted, they wanted more diversity on the show. Like everyone's been talking about it, talking about it, talking about it. So they do another Bachelor season with another white man, and that was Peter. And that's where another Hannah was involved. And she, I worked with her. But anyways, doesn't matter. So anyways, so they did that season and then the pandemic hit, okay? And they did another Bachelorette season with Claire Cawley, and she was like the oldest Black Bachelorette ever, and her season was cray cray because she decided who she wanted to marry like in that first episode. So she like left that season, but she was supposed to have Matt James on that season with her, but she decided, oh, I don't like him, so I don't want him on the season. Okay, so none of Bachelor Nation knows who Matt James is, and this is also where we have our second Black Bachelorette, which is Tayshia Adams, whom I did the fashion line with at Amaryllis. So the pandemic happens, and Hannah Brown, remember, very, very popular, decides to go to Florida to be with the quarantine crew with Tyler Cameron and Tyler Cameron's best friend, which is Matt James. Okay. So Tyler Cameron, Matt James are all in these like TikTok videos. They're getting like super popular. The Bachelor is trying to figure out what to do to keep relevant. So they're like, let's pluck Matt James and make him the Bachelor. Okay. Without ever like having him on the show or figuring out like if he actually wants to get married or have a long-term relationship. So he starts.
I forget already who Matt James is.
The first Black Bachelor.
But how is he in the group before?
He is friends with Tyler Cameron, who was Hannah so Brown's runner-up.
So he's just friends with one of the Bachelor people.
Yes. Okay. Okay. So everyone's like, this season was crazy. All of this was like lore, all right? This is like Bachelor lore. And we don't really care much. We loved the last Bachelor, Mr. Cutie Pants, who won Dancing with the Stars. That was the last.
Joey.
We loved Joey. Haven't really loved anything since that or in between Hannah Brown and Joey. So, Matt's season, controversial. This is like, you know, right after Black Lives Matter, that just seems like, you know, ABC is posturing, like trying to be woke in this sense. This is where Chris Harrison gets fired and gets replaced.
Wait, Chris Harrison was fired?
Chris Harrison was fired because he went on a morning show with the first Black Bachelorette. Her name is Rachel, because his... The girl, the Rachel Kirkconnell. All right. I'm going to back up a little bit. Okay, so Matt James has like a girl that he really, really likes on his show, and it's Rachel Kirkconnell. Okay, that's who he ends up with. But the controversy is, all after Black Lives Matter, is that she has photos come out where she is dressed up in a Miss Antebellum party that what are those called?
What is Miss Antebellum?
It's I don't even want to say it. It's bad. It's like it's
something
it's,
with the South.
Yeah, what's the South? It's like celebrating
the secession.
The all of that stuff. And like she's in like those outfits and stuff like from the 1800s, like the 1860s. So celebrating like the South back then before the Civil War. So it's like a Civil War party. Okay. Dressed as a Confederate wife. Okay, thank you.
Oh, God.
But it's based in Civil War racist lynching, Tamara said. Just bad stuff. Okay, so there's pictures of her that come out, all right? And so Chris Harrison gets on a morning show to try to smooth this out with Rachel, and he ends up sticking his foot in his mouth, and he's like, oh, like you shouldn't feel bad about that. He says something terrible and then gets canceled immediately. And Rachel's like, well, why can't I feel like this way? I am a Black woman. I should be able to feel this way. Anyways, so he gets canceled. He gets booted off the show. Matt on the show talks about how he doesn't want to get married and how he's afraid of getting married, but ends up leaving the show with Rachel and being like, can we just be boyfriend and girlfriend? Okay. So, controversial season, like, okay, but it kind of like we kind of got used to it because they now had been together for 5 fucking years and they were like really big on social media. They were travel influencers, like foodie people. I've sent you their videos before of like them, of like Matt eating like really a yummy donut food, something like that. And then all of a sudden they break up and he posts a picture. It's really terrible how this goes down. But anyways, she had always wanted to get engaged in Japan, and they now have been together for a significant amount of time where she thought, okay, it's time to get engaged. And he's like, well, I want to go to Japan. So she thought like, oh my God, this is where we're going to get engaged. So they go on this trip. They don't get engaged. He decides, hey, I don't really want to be in a relationship with you anymore. Breaks up with her in Japan. As he leaves Japan early to go, goes back to the States. She's on the airplane to go home, and he posts a photo of how they break up without ever asking her permission. And it's just bad.
So who's hosting The Bachelor?
Well, it was a long time. Tayshia and hosted it, and then now there's like an old contestant who hosts it. He's not very good.
This is crazy. Why didn't I hear about that?
Yeah, it was like The Bachelor went through a really, really rough patch for a while.
So Jesse he's Palmer not hosting the Golden Bachelor.
No. Jesse Palmer now hosts everything.
Wow. Well, that's cray cray.
Yeah. Sorry. I just had to go through that. She just talked. She was on Call Her Daddy, and she went through the whole thing. So.
Oh, I saw a thing for that. And I was like, who is this?
Yeah. Sorry, that took like probably like 20 minutes to go through.
The last thing on the news today is I am an author, if you didn't know, and I have 3 novels out right now. 2 of them are on Kindle Unlimited, so you can read them for free if you have Kindle Unlimited, Again But Better and Better Together. And my third book, Attached at the Hip, is a rom-com about a 23-year-old who ends up on like a romantic slant version of Survivor, where you're attached literally at the hip to a missed connection for 3 days at a time, and then you compete in a challenge, and then someone gets voted out and you switch up the couples, and it's really fun. And links are in the show notes if you're interested. And if you've read them and you've enjoyed any of them, reviewing the books on wherever the platform you devoured them is very, very helpful to myself and any author that you love, to help new audiences find their books, because that's how the algorithm promotes novels. So if you've already reviewed my book, whether that be on Amazon, Barnes & Noble, Audible, you know, all the platforms have a review wherever you were when you read it. And it's very helpful. And thank you so much if you took the time to do that. All right. Now, we also have merch if you haven't seen it.
Oh yeah, merch.
We have merch at thoseworkingfangirls.com. We have a really cute t-shirt and sweatshirt, and they both give T-Swift if you're a T-Swift fan. So make sure you check those out as well. All right. What right now? What are you reading?
I'm almost done with Onyx Storm.
Woo!
It's so good. I am still trying to understand why there's rhetoric online talking about why they hate it. And I'm like, I haven't seen either, but I've heard like people keep asking me like, oh, I've heard people don't like it. And I'm like,
it's because it got so big. Now people don't want to like it because they think it's cool and clickbaity. Yeah. I really think that's it.
Well, and also I'm like, do you not like it? Was it like too political? I had this conversation with Taya last night.
What?
The thought that people say that this is just like a dragon smut book when there are literally only 4 sex scenes, and it's mostly like it's world building, magic system, politically driven. Yeah. They just have romance in it.
Yeah.
And it's just
it's sexist. They do to books that are centered around women.
Exactly. And it does a disservice to the author and to all readers. And it's fucking frustrating. Okay.
Yeah. I mean, it's been happening to Sarah J. Maas now for years. That's where books blow up. People like to belittle them. Even when I remember when we were with a certain male author, and he was asking me like what the next big thing was in like 2016. Oh, yeah. And I told him Throne of Glass by Sarah J. Maas. Mm-hmm. And he's like, what is it? And I told him, and he kind of just brushed it off. And guess what?
Fuck you. Just kidding. Gabby said, bro, Onyx Storm fucked me up. Guys, I can't. I have to give myself breaks, okay? I saw a random post saying it's aimless and pointless. Lies.
What?
It changed the trajectory of the whole story.
People
goddamn
don't understand
that's right.
Books and reading and story if they say that. It's so frustrating. I'm like, okay, well, I don't know what you were looking for, but... obviously not a good story.
Gabby continues saying, I think some people might just not like the increased fantasy elements. And
honestly,
I think that's so true.
I think people don't actually like fantasy, and they're just in it thinking that like this is gonna be, I don't know, all sex.
I have a hot take.
What is it?
I think I like Zayden more than Rhysand.
Oh, I always like Zayden more than Rhysand.
Okay, Rhysand's my man, and so this should be more controversial than I'm saying this.
I don't think it's controversial at all. I think Zayden is a more emotionally evolved character.
Yes, even mm-hmm. though fucking Rhysand's 500 years old.
He shows so much growth. I put up my book talk yesterday, my Onyx Storm book talk, and...
Yeah, how did that go?
You know, it's stressful because I knew coming back, if it was a video that everyone could watch, it probably would have done well, but it's a book talk and it's a third book in the series. And as I predicted, it's very slow. I'm sure it'll like grow because people won't click on my book talks unless they've read the book. Cause they know it's.
Yeah. I mean, I wanted to click on it, but I was like, oh my God, I'm almost done, but I have this to watch.
Yeah. So if you want to check it out, please do. Spent a lot of time on that shit. Mm-hmm. And I had so much fun because I'm obsessed with the series now. Like, this book took me hook, line, and sinker into the world. I'm literally rereading Iron Flame. I've already reread Fourth Wing.
Wait, and you finished Fourth Wing?
Yeah, I did. I finished Fourth Wing, and I'm in Iron Flame in my reread, and I'm gonna reread Onyx Storm too because I'm having a really good time and I am picking up on so much more. Like, when I was reading Iron Flame, it was across like an entire year. Yeah. And I don't even remember some of the shit from the beginning, even though I was vlogging it.
I'm like, look at you now. You couldn't freaking finish that book a while ago. And now you're like,
now it's reread. Different though, because I have much more grounding in who the characters are and where Rebecca was going with all of it, and the political things when they talk about different provinces, I know where they're talking about because we just went there in Onyx Storm. You know, it's very different when you're just hearing names be thrown out. They just go psh, 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 psh. But when you've spent like days with our characters in each place, now it's completely different. Anyway, I have Empyrean crackpot theories in my video. That's half of the book talk. we're gonna do an Onyx Storm episode with the Fantasy Fangirls. They are I think it's next month, so
yeah, it's on soon. Oscars Day we're recording.
Oh yeah, the Oscars Day. So we're recording, so it'll be a fun time. All right, did you watch any shows this week?
I'm still watching Hacks, absolutely love it, on season 3.
Yes!
Tay and I watched Squid Games last night, only one episode.
Okay. The first episode or like no, further in?
The first two. This is kind of boring, the first two episodes, because like nothing's, like things are happening. I don't know. I wasn't really into it, but I'm hoping to get into, calm down, I'm going to get into it. and then of course Severance, oh my God!
Such a good episode this week. Like, I can already see it winning an Emmy.
You guys need to watch Severance. It's
literally, it's so good.
I know, because you put up a poll on, and like, how many people were not watching it?
60% of the people were not watching it that voted, and 40 or 39% were watching. And I was like, this is blasphemous. It is, I think, the best thing on TV right now.
It is.
And it was crazy to me because I feel like everyone's talking about it, but I guess not enough. But Apple is finally sending them on press stuff. They're doing press interviews. They did a really good Who's Most Likely To interview with Variety. Mm. And I sent it to John at like 2 a.m. last night. I'll send it to you too. I knew you were like dead asleep. But it was really cute. And they were talking about Adam Scott and Dylan, both are big Survivor people. And it was just fun learning about them. And they have so much chemistry as a cast. All right. And Traitors, which is still very fun every week. Every week I'm like texting Kayla about Traitors. What movies have you been watching?
Okay. So yeah, I finished.
Did you watch The Apprentice?
I did.
How was that?
This is going to sound controversial. I actually like this movie more than any other nominated film. I think,
is this
so
nominated?
I don't know if it's nominated, but it's like in the, like it's in the awards, like
zeitgeist.
You want to know why I liked it more?
Because of what's his name?
Well, Sebastian Stan. Yes, of course. Yeah. But Sebastian Stan was also in A Different Man. I liked it because we actually got to see like like it painted Trump in this terrible light that I wanted to see. Like I wanted to see this formation of this takedown, and it gave me like.
It's gratifying.
Yeah, it was quite gratifying. Shit,
do I have to watch it?
I think you do need to watch it. And I
used to watch The Apprentice. Did you?
Oh, of course I did.
Yeah.
My parents.
Yeah, my parents watched it too.
But it's not about his reality show. It's about his like early 20s into his like 40s.
Oh, interesting.
And it's from like, I think the early 70s into the 80s. So.
Oh, that's so interesting. And they just cleverly named it The Apprentice.
Yes, because it's literally you see him evolve as this like businessman as it goes down the line, like what he's had to do. Sebastian Stan, oh my, he got hit. Like I was saying to Alex that I can see Donald Trump, but I can also it he made it his own in that regard, and I think he did so well in that film.
You also watched The Substance.
I finished The Substance. I gave Christine the whole rundown of how it's
I went and watched the
monster.
Yeah,
guys. I what did I text you? I was like, this movie is crazy.
I watched the transformation because like you told me she turns into like an old disgusting hag.
Yeah.
And I wanted to see it. And so I watched the clip where she like is with her this like hot boy. And then she goes into the bathroom and then he comes and knocks on the door. And she's like,
yes, it's crazy. God. Oh, my God. I did enjoy this movie. The very last part where she turns into like this blob bubble monster.
I looked that up.
Oh my God.
I see those parts don't bother me. It's the parts where like she's like injecting herself and sewing herself up and birthing.
Yeah. Yeah. So yeah. I did that
movie really is a modern day version of the one with Goldie Hawn and Meryl Streep.
Oh, Death Becomes Her?
Death Becomes Her. Yeah. Like the themes are very
I was talking to Tay about it and she's like, I just don't like when movies like want to like punch the message into you. And I'm like, well, yes, it is about a woman who wants to make a new life for her and, you know, wants to, you know, being like aging in this world is never seen as good. But it's also about like her self-worth and her self-esteem.
Yeah.
And how she doesn't really have anyone around her. And it's just kind of sad. It's quite a sad story.
It really highlights how society treats people differently, dependent on how they look in the industry.
Then last night we decided to watch Anora, which is previously
what'd you think?
We said... Yeah, so previously said we wanted to, we were really excited about it.
Cause yeah.
It was a rom-com or, it was a romance. No!
What the fuck was it then?
I don't even, like, should I even tell you? Like,
yeah, I don't know if I'll, well, just tell me, like, the gist of it because I might watch it. Okay. But I don't need it spoiled.
It was a very, so it's about sex work. Anora is a stripper and sometimes an escort. And it's in New Jersey. And she had the accent that you like to put on.
Wait, really? I thought it was a foreign film.
Mm-mm, no, it's set in New Jersey.
Oh, okay. I'm going to watch it.
But she, yeah. It does involve... a Russian man who comes in and, you know, pays for her time, right? So she speak Russian because her grandma was Russian. And they kind of have this, like, whirlwind of a two-week period together because he pays for her time. I'm not going to go too much into it. Okay. But it starts to take
it's not a rom-com.
No. It starts to take a big, big old turn.
Dark turn.
Not that dark. It just gets really stressful because...
Okay.
His family is not about this.
Yeah, you don't have to tell him anymore.
Okay. But yeah, it just, as I didn't...
You didn't
I,
love it.
I didn't love it. Very stressful. So much yelling and cussing that it, like, I was like...
The Bear.
Like, I was like trying to...
Season one of The Bear.
Yeah. But at the same time, I felt like they really wanted to show how, I don't know, it just, it felt like it was a very male-centric view of sex work.
Okay.
And also, there was no intimacy coordinator. Tay and I were talking about this, and it's absolutely wild because there's so many intimate scenes within the whole movie, and especially like the stripping and all of that. And it's just all of these shots of her body. It just, there was no female gaze in the whole
thing.
It
was the male gaze, yeah.
Yeah.
Interesting. It wasn't Hustlers.
No. And it was weirdly funny at times. Like, okay. I was like, ha! Whoa, what just came out of me? That was weird, but yeah.
Interesting. I also, this just popped up when you mentioned New Jersey, but Severance, the building, they film on the East Coast in New York and New Jersey because that building, that Lumen building, mm-hmm. is the old Bell Atlantic building in New Jersey. Yeah. And when they found it, they were like, oh, this is so perfect. And Ben Stiller was so excited. And he was like, has anyone else filmed here? And they were like, no one's ever filmed here. So anyway, is there anything else that you watched? Oh, no. Okay. I watched the new Reese Witherspoon, Will Ferrell rom-com, You're Cordially Invited. And it was actually really cute. And the best thing I've seen Reese Witherspoon in for a long time. Like, her character was really fun. And that's really good to know. Yeah. And it had like some themes that I really like with her being, you know, her family's from the South and they're all like married and have lots of kids and she doesn't really feel like she fits in with them. She works in LA. She's a producer for a reality TV channel. And her mom's just like, you don't understand. Like, you don't have any kids. You don't have anyone that you have to work for. You just like live for yourself. Like stuff like that. And then Will Ferrell is just a single dad because his wife passed away and his daughter's getting married. And he's like, you know, played all the roles in parenthood. And so he knows that he like does her hair and like they have a secret handshake and like they're really tight and they both book the same venue. And it's cute. It's not the like my favorite, but I laughed out loud a bunch of times. And I was just really like excited to see Reese Witherspoon doing great. All right. Well, we're about to roll into our Fangirl Oscars. Before that, though, we're going to take a quick second to thank everybody out there listening. Thank you for being a part of our Those Forking Fangirls community. We love y'all. If you're not already, we'd really appreciate it if you went and followed us for free on your favorite podcast listening app so you never miss an episode. You get notified when one goes up. And we are also on YouTube, youtube.com/@thoseforkingfangirls if you like to watch the visual version of the show. And you could subscribe there for free as well so you never miss a visual version of the show. And if you don't know, this is a viewer-supported podcast. So we wouldn't be able to do this if we didn't have patrons. And we have a lot of fun perks over on our Patreon mm-hmm. if you're interested in joining that. Our most consistent and extensive perk is Fangirl Tea Time, which is an extra half an hour show at the end of every single episode. That's 106 episodes underneath this if you decide to become a patron at the $5 level right now. And it's super fun. We tell stories, talk more personal things going on in our lives. And we really get to know all of our patrons. If you're a patron at the $5 level, you get to come to the recordings. You get to be a part of the conversation in the chat. And you get the show ad-free. And there's two other tiers as well. They're also really fun. And you can check out more in the show notes. There's a free trial available. If you want, you can become a patron for 7 days for free. See if you like it before you commit at the Team Jacob level. And all that's linked in the show notes. All right. So if you are a patron, we're going to roll right on into the main discussion. If not, we will be right back after these messages.
Hi, I'm Paula Zahn, announcing the launch of On the Case, the podcast. Experience the most dramatic true crime investigations in a whole new way. Hear from loved ones on a relentless quest for justice and interviews with the detectives who piece together the mystery. On the Case with Paula Zahn, the podcast. Download it wherever you listen to podcasts.
All right.
We're back.
We're back with the third annual Polis Bananas Oscars, Natasha.
And this year, we haven't put anything on the dock. So all of our answers are going to be a surprise to each other.
I know, because typically we do. I forgot. We do like to see each other's because sometimes
we kind of organize based off of.
Yeah, because you'll talk about it. Whatever.
Yeah. Whatever. But this year I tried to do it like you did last year in terms of like I tried not to put any movie twice. So if it fit like a second superlative, I wouldn't put it there if it was on a different list, you know?
Good job.
So we're going to kick things off with our most surprisingly good movie. Natasha, do you want to kick us off with this one? What's your most surprisingly good movie this year?
Most surprisingly good. Can you, want to give a guess? What do you think?
I don't know if it's going to be the same as mine.
Okay, I'm going to say most surprisingly good movie because this movie is a Wattpad story.
This is mine too!
No way!
Yes!
Boot camp? I had to put boot camp.
Yes, me too!
Because I just went into it being like, this is going to be like a little dumb story. But it was so good. It was such like a cute rom-com, not too stressful. Also had a really good message. I love the body positivity.
Good.
Yeah. I really like recommend if you guys are always like looking like you're like us and you love the rom-coms, you should watch Boot Camp. It's It was probably one of my like new favorite movies of this year. I really loved
That's
the rom-com
why it's here
aspect.
On our Academy Award list. Yeah, it was very
should we do
cute.
A little synop of it if people don't know what it is.
A little synop. She goes to camp. The counselor's hot. Is that what happens? That's basically what I remember.
Yeah, well, she goes to camp to get like away from like her high school life, and then the high school life kind of follows her out there. And she goes to camp to like be a better version of herself, like to lose weight. And because I thought it was like going to be like a fat camp movie, but it's not. And it has like a really great message about body positivity in there and body acceptance. And she ends up like making friends and maybe falling for her hottie camp counselor. Her name is Rachel Bodwin, I think. Anyways, we follow each other on Instagram.
All right. So we have the same one. I don't think we're gonna have the same for funniest because I tried to do something that wasn't on my list because I love funny movies. So there's a lot of funny ones on.
Funny? What do you mean, comedy special?
No. Funniest movie right here.
Did I miss that?
Did you miss funniest movie?
Oh my God. I thought it was like a thing. Oh, fuck me. Give me a second. All right. I think I have one.
Do you want me to go first for this one since you went first for the other one?
Yeah, you go first.
All right. My funniest movie. See, this was hard because my actual funniest ones are on the other list. So this is like a funny one that is more underrated funny. But I put down Sweethearts because I laughed a lot watching that movie. And it's an HBO Max kind of like rom-com. It's, you know, like best friends. And they're both trying to break up with their high school sweethearts during their first year of college. And it's really funny. I laughed
it
a
is.
Lot.
I think it's a well-done movie, too.
Yeah. No, great pacing, great chemistry between the actors. Mm-hmm. It was fun.
Okay. My most funniest movie... I don't think I even have any funny movies on my list.
Really?
My most funniest movie... This is so random, but it's Mother of the Bride.
God, that was so bad. That's going to be on my Razzie list.
That's so... I liked that movie, okay? I thought it was funny.
Wait, this is the one with Brooke Shields, right?
Yes.
Oh, my God. Okay.
I had a great time watching that movie. And then there was a great scene in it that I started laughing really loud at.
What scene?
They, like, run into each other. And, like, she falls into, like, the river, lake, stream thing in the hotel.
Oh.
And gets all wet.
It's like a little pool.
Yeah, something like that.
Yeah. Yeah, I just remember being like, is this over yet? The next category is best non-scripted concert or comedy special. What
won
this
award?
Did you watch
any non-scripted concert?
No, I didn't. This is just from last year. The Eras Tour was the answer for this. But I just left it just in case you watched the Olivia Rodrigo one and really liked it.
Oh, I actually did not watch that one. I forgot that came out.
Yeah, I didn't love it.
Okay. So, didn't watch many comedy specials. I think I only watched like two or three. But my favorite, because I have now watched it three times, is Taylor Tomlinson, Have It All.
So good. So good.
I didn't know that Taylor Tomlinson started in the Christian comedy circuit.
You did it?
Had no idea.
All time. Oh.
No idea. And I'm like, wow, this is why we connect so well. And
I feel like she connects with our generation so well.
She does.
Right on with her.
Mm-hmm. I mean, the whole like Have It All was about her being single again.
Mm-hmm.
And one of my favorite bits was when she bid on Hugh Jackman's glove.
Yeah.
And she's like, I have money. I am single. I'm going to bid.
She's fantastic. I love her. All of her specials are A++. I was thinking that maybe you would say that one, so I did a different one. Ali Wong is an honorable mention. She also had a single lady special come out this year, but that's not the one I picked. I picked Dead Man Walking by Seth Meyers because I just watched it a couple months ago and I just like was laughing hysterically the entire time. It's all like stories about him being a dad, but like funny. Like this funny perspective on it. The Seth Meyers perspective, he's very funny. And if you haven't watched it yet, it's on Max. So I have like, I miss all the comedy specials when they're not on Netflix. Like I don't get notified. There's no promotion. Yeah. And I just happened to see this pop up on Max. And I was like, oh, whoa, a new Seth Meyers special. Because I loved Lobby Baby, which was his last one. It was on Netflix. And yeah, highly recommend. Super fun. Very funny.
Next category is most underrated good. Christine is a New York Times best-selling author, best known for her books, Again But Better. And she is here to present the nominees.
We don't have any nominees. But I can tell you my answer for this one. My most underrated good film, this was a hard one because I also feel like some of my other ones were underrated, but I put a different one. I put Upgraded, which is on Amazon Prime. And it's with the dark-haired girl from Riverdale. Mm-hmm. What the hell is her name?
Camila Mendes?
Camila Mendes and the guy from Shadow and Bone, who plays the love interest. Oh my God, I can't remember anyone's name right now, but you know who I'm talking about.
Yes.
Right?
Yes. I do know.
And they had great chemistry, great banter. Like, it was, no one was talking about this movie, Upgraded, but it was really cute. And I was so pleased while I was watching it with their back and forth, and the script was great. It was just really, really fun. And Marissa Tomei is in it as well.
You know, I never finished that movie because it was giving me anxiety.
Oh, because she was embarrassing you or something?
No, because she kept lying.
Oh, yeah, because she was lying. But she had to lie in that instance.
I know. I will finish it now that I'm over my mental health thing. So,
yeah, it was really cute. So it's about this woman, Camila plays, who works for an art dealer, and she gets to fill in or be promoted and go on this trip. Oh yeah, she's an assistant. Mm-hmm. And then she gets upgraded at the airport.
Oh, because the boss treats her like shit. Oh no, yeah, her coworkers.
Coworkers or teacher treat her like shit. And then she ends up working directly for the boss person while she's on this trip because she lies about who she is on the airplane because she gets upgraded to first class. She doesn't lie. She says what she's doing and then they assume her position and then she goes along with it. Yeah. Mm-hmm. And she sits next to the guy from Shadow and Bone and he's really cute in this. Next up, we have Natasha Polis presenting two honorable mentions, best known for her wizarding sewing abilities and hair prowess and the internet.
Unfortunately, I will not be presenting for two honorable mentions because I didn't say my most underrated good.
Oh, fuck me. Say you're on this underrated good. I got distracted by us talking about the movie.
My most underrated good, I'm giving it to Damsel with Millie Bobby Brown.
Oh, what?
Yeah.
You liked it? I don't know.
I did. Did you watch it?
No, I never watched it because I didn't know if it was, I didn't hear that it was good.
I didn't watch it immediately as it came out because I wanted to like make it a thing. I was like, oh, I really want to watch this movie. Like, seems like something I really want to watch. And when I did, I was like, wait, I actually really like this film because, well, first of all, there's like a tiny bit of romance, but not really, because it's mostly about her like being a badass. And it's like all of the romantasy fantasy novels that we like, but in movie form. And I'm sad that it didn't get more recognition. Oh. But she, it was, I highly recommend. I think we all.
I guess I'll watch it. I didn't know that you liked it. I don't remember talking about it on the show.
I talked about it like
briefly.
For a second, but like now that I've had some more perspective, I'm like, oh, actually, I really want to watch that again.
All right, nice. Okay, moving on into two honorable mentions. Natasha, hit us with a honorable mention.
I think I'm going to save one of these because that's probably in your top five. One of my first honorable mentions came out last year, but I only watched it this year.
It was
2024, and it was okay. All of Us. Wait, did it come out? Wait,
which, what are you talking?
No, maybe it came out 2023. Anyways, it's All of Us Strangers with Andrew Scott and.
Oh, this is a movie.
Yeah.
That you watched. Oh, I remember talking about
it. I watched it after Gladiator 2 because of. Wait. Paul Mescal.
Yeah, I remember.
And I talked about it on the show, but
why would this be on my top? I've never seen it.
No. I'm not saying the one that I have three on here because I think you're gonna say one in your top five.
Okay.
But All of Us Strangers, I thought it was a really beautiful film because it explored grief in two different ways. And as someone who lives with grief all the time and being able to, because Andrew Scott basically goes back to his family home and his parents are there and he gets to catch up with them as if they never, like their meeting were right before they passed away. And now he's this, in his 30-year-old man and he's trying to explain his life to them. And I thought it was so beautiful. And also the romantic relationship between Paul Mescal and Andrew Scott was amazing and great and beautiful and hot. but then there's another part of grief that happens in the movie too. And it was comforting. I really liked the movie.
One of my honorable mentions is Twisters.
Damn it!
What?
Why is this only an honorable mention?
I was going back and forth. It was between number five and the honorable mention. Oh my God. I loved Twisters with Glenn Powell. It was really the year of Glenn Powell in a lot of ways.
Did you see my Mary Kiss list?
Yes, I did, and I was excited. And I saw it after I had written down my movies and was thinking a lot about Glenn Powell. Glenn Powell really did a great job, and he had good chemistry with Daisy, and we saw that movie in the theater and had a grand old time.
So good. Best theater experience, I think, of the year.
It was a very fun theater experience.
All right, what else is on your list?
So I put Civil War on...
That's my other one.
Oh, shit! No way! Yeah. I was thinking about this. Like, I really look for movies that have me examine
Yeah. Reflect on what's going on in the world.
Reflect on either myself or the world or something else within my life. And I think Civil War did that. And there's just,
yeah,
there's so many different scenes and parts of the film that, like, I was just like, oh my God, oh my God, oh my God. It was a terrible, beautiful film. And I don't know. It was just, I didn't expect it because I was like, okay, Civil War. The whole time I was like, oh, it must be Captain America.
Oh my God.
But it's not for everyone, I don't think, because there's a lot of, it's a warfare. A lot of violence.
The war.
It's as if Trump took on his fourth term or something and he won't leave office, and California and Texas have succeeded, and now there's like a civil war happening in our country in modern times. And we follow journalists and photographers as they
try to get to the Capitol to cover the taking the Capitol, like where they're about to take the Capitol,
yeah,
and they want to cover it. And they're in New York, so they have to drive down through all of the war zones.
So it's a lot. It's a lot.
Yeah, and we're just like literally guerrilla traveling, trying to get down there. Kirsten Dunst plays like a weathered war photographer, photojournalist, and there's a young woman who wants to be a photojournalist who she kind of takes on as a mentor. Yeah, it's really good. It's really intense. I watched it on a plane when I was like nothing. I know. I was in a mood where I was like, nothing can upset me right now in terms of my anxiety. I'm like, I'm at like a deadline.
All right. Top five. I'm excited.
Oh my God. Top five movies of the year.
Interesting. Now I'm trying to figure out what's on your top five as you did all those.
Yeah. Okay. I'll go first and then we'll trade off.
All right, top five movies of the year. None of my movies are nominated. Wait, that's wrong.
I was like, there's one.
There's one. Sure. I can usually guess like our top one. Our top one's got to be the same. I think it's
the same. Yeah.
Yeah.
But well, we're starting at five, okay? So number five. On the top movies of 2024.
Okay. My number five. You're going to hate this.
What?
My number five is The Idea of You.
Are you kidding?
I'm not kidding. I love this movie. Okay. I watched it 3 times.
Oh my goodness.
And it is... I thought it was hot and it was fun. And I love Anne Hathaway and I love what's his face, Nicholas Galitzine. Mm-hmm. And I had a good, jolly old time watching it. And then, if you don't know what it is the like One Direction fanfic movie
with Anne Hathaway.
With Anne Hathaway about like an older, there was a long list of movies where we now have like an older woman being with a younger guy. There were so many of them this year, but this one was my favorite.
They're trying to make up for the deficit of the last 15 years. There's another one coming with Bridget Jones and I think we're both excited.
There's another one coming with Timothée Chalamet and Gwyneth Paltrow.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
Anyway, wow, bold choice.
Thanks. As I was making my list, I was like, The Idea of You is going on my top five.
I just realized that, like, I didn't put the one movie from 2023 that I really liked on any of my things because I was like, trying to stick to 2024, but I just want to mention as an honorable mention really quick, Bottoms. I watched this year instead of last year and I loved it.
Yeah.
And it was very funny and I was like so proud of like the girl in her 20s who wrote and I think directed the film, Rachel Senyon or something. Yeah.
How many movies did you watch this year?
48.
New movies.
I don't know how many new movies. I just counted my whole list, which is 48.
Okay. I had 50.
Well, we were close.
Yeah. I might have missed a few, but I don't know.
I did miss a few because you mentioned something and I was like, oh, fuck, I didn't write that down. And like, so the ones I wrote down, 48. Mm-hmm. But I did a lot of rewatches this year. All right. Coming in at number 5 was the new Richard Linklater film with Glenn Powell, Hitman. I just fucking love Glenn Powell.
I knew this was on your list.
I love Richard Linklater. And this movie was going to be also my most underrated good because not many people, I feel like, were talking about Hitman because it came out on Netflix with not much promotion. Mm-hmm. But it's the story of Glenn Powell is like a very doormat-y teacher. And he also works for the police and he helps them catch hitmen, basically. So people who he pretends to be he's on a squad of people with a guy who pretends to be a hitman. And when people hire him, they get that person arrested because that person's trying to get somebody killed. And that guy gets fired who actually pretends to be the hitman. So Glenn Powell has to now be like the actor who pretends to be the hitman and meets with the person who hires a hitman. And then they like call in the police to arrest them. Mm-hmm. And he has to, the job of that guy is to kind of be a chameleon and be whoever like the person who hired him imagines a hitman to be. Mm-hmm. So he plays like 1,000 different characters. And one of these characters is very like Brad Pitty, like Brad Pitt in Once Upon a Time in Hollywood, I would say like that character. And he likes who he is as that character. And the woman who's trying to hire him is attractive and they have chemistry and they start seeing each other. And he starts becoming this character and he like starts questioning like what makes a person themselves, like what makes you you, and like are you who you're pretending to be, are you who you thought you were before, like can people change? It's really got a lot of interesting philosophical questions happening.
I remember because I sort of started watching it and I didn't like it at first. And Christine watched it and she's like, no, you have to watch it. And I was like, oh, okay. So I went back because it takes a while to get to like the rom-com part of it. And I'm like, okay, just be patient. This girl, this is just like a fantasy novel. You got to be patient. You know,
It
pays off in some way. I know it does. But yeah, I think I was going to put this in like surprisingly good because at first I didn't like it. And then I was going to put it in my honorable mentions. I'm like, Christine has to have this in her top 5. So I'm just going to let her speak about it. And I'm glad I was right.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, he's so hot in this movie. I can't.
See, now I would say that about my number 4 film, and that would be Twisters.
Ooh, yeah. Yeah, yeah.
I think as I make this list, I really think about the movies that I had a great time watching and that it paid off for me. Mm-hmm. And that was Twisters because I came in with zero expectations because I love the original film so much. And it was like a film we watched all the time with my mom and my dad. And, wow, excuse me. Honestly, this film made me like Daisy Edgar Jones. Not that I didn't like her, but like, I was never like her biggest fan. And then I saw her in this and all the press surrounding Twisters was so fun. And I think we just had a really fun time in the theater just watching it again. And I don't know. I really liked it. It's like another really fun like action film that I can put on
with great romantic tension.
Yeah. Unfortunately, there's no kiss, which is frustrating.
If the end had been a tiny bit different, I think it would have been number 5.
Yeah. I would have to say the same thing. But still loved it. So that was my number 4.
My number 4 is Challengers.
Okay.
Yes.
I didn't put Challengers anywhere on my list.
Oh, shit. Really?
Because I think I went into it with so many high expectations and they weren't met for me aside from the music being amazing. And I know Zendaya was just like had an incredible performance. But for me, the film like didn't live up to my expectations.
Okay. I didn't know what to expect in this. And I loved it. I love how ever since I read, I've been like weirdly, like I look at tennis so differently. And I think if I hadn't read that book, I wouldn't be as into the challengers. But being in that woman's head really gives you so much insight into the tennis world. And so I really saw her as like Zendaya. And I loved the guy, the dark-haired guy, and I loved the tension between the three of them and how they were all kind of in love with each other. Yeah. And the music was phenomenal, and I learned afterward it was the same person who did the music for The Social Network, which is also phenomenal. Mm-hmm. And I listen to that a lot when I write. I watched this on my book tour. I landed in St. Louis, and my friend Cassie, who I've known from YouTube since like 2011, and I haven't seen her in like 5 years, picked me up. And she was like, my book club's going to see the challengers. You want to come? And I was like, yes, I do. I really want to see that movie. So she picked me up at the hotel, and I like met her book club, and we saw challengers. And it was just so unexpected because I've been going from like one hotel to the next and just like arriving and getting ready and going to the event, and I had an extra day, so it was really cool. Anyway, I really liked it. I haven't watched it a second time.
I think I need to watch it a second time.
Yeah, I think I do too. And it's on Amazon Prime, I think, so I should do that. But I haven't watched it because it's one of those things where like the movie experience was so intense that I like I haven't been ready to like let go of it and watch it a second time. It takes me a long time when I have a really great movie experience to watch it on my computer.
I think I was so prepared to watch Zendaya be this like badass tennis player. And she was for like a hot second.
Some of the movie.
But it's about her putting her husband on a pedestal. And I don't think I was prepared for that.
Well, she's living vicariously through him because she has had an injury. A career-ending injury, and she was like a prodigy.
Yeah, and that kind of made me really sad when I watched it because I was like, yeah. Oh, God, no. Now we have to see her put her husband through this. Okay. But yeah, I need to watch it again. Caitlin said, you get something new every time. I love it more every time watching it. She's watched it 3 times.
Nice. Yeah, I got to watch it again. All right, what was that? That was my number 4.
Mm-hmm.
You did your number 4, right?
Uh-huh. My number 3 for Fangirl Oscars goes to My Monster, which I just recently watched. Yep.
Wow, that's really high.
Dude. Because.
That's kind of me.
Okay, well, you need to watch the film. And I think it was a better Lisa Frankenstein, in my opinion. Like, a much better Lisa Frankenstein. I just had a really, I think, like, it spoke to me because, like, we see this girl who's very alone, and she's gone through all these terrible, awful things, and she's grieving, and she's in grief, and then, like, there's a make-believe character that is there for her, and who, like, wants to help her, but also is, like, being really tough on her, in a sense, and, like, will come to her aid whenever. And at the end of the film, it all comes together in such a surprising, weird way that you're like, oh. And I just love the message that it gives, but I think I was super satisfied watching it because it was all the things that I love as a fangirl, being like, someone is always there for you. Oh, you hurt her. I'm going to kill you. Like all of those
tropes
that I love in a film.
Nice.
And I highly recommend all my fangirlies watch it.
Nice. All right. My number 3 movie of the year is Deadpool and Wolverine. I can't believe this isn't on your list.
I am trying to stay away from the controversial movies.
How is this controversial?
I think anything to do with Ryan Reynolds and Blake Lively is controversial, but okay.
It has nothing to do with them. It's about Deadpool and Wolverine. And it was great. And we had the best time watching it.
It was so fun. We had so much fun.
So fun. It had so many fun cameos. It was just like such a ride and such a great day. And I watched it again on the plane. And that's why it's number three and not number two or one. Because like I didn't love it as much the second time because a lot of it's like the first time you see it, humor. But I think it was a very like harrowing thing to pull off this storyline in general. And they did it. And it was very fun and enjoyable.
Do you think, because like all the cameos are so fun, right? The first time we're watching it. Like I'm sorry. I shit my pants. I'm going to spoil it for a hot second. When
Henry Cavill
shows up and I was like, the fuck? But do you think it probably would have been like a more fun rewatchable film if it was just centered on Deadpool and Wolverine as like a hate to love type of like buddy cop system when we didn't have all those cameos?
No, for me, what actually ended up making it like less fun the second time was just knowing that it's like a very weird premise. They're like in the, what is that thing called?
Oh, like it doesn't matter.
Like the time people from Loki in that world is very strange and kind of like when you're not concentrating on Wolverine and Deadpool and you think too hard about it, it's kind of like hooey woo woo. But the characters are so fun and their moments together are so great. And they hold up the film. It's just like very out there. Like, and Paul said this to me after I saw it the first time. And I was like, I still loved it so much though. He's like, yeah, but the story like is so random. And I was like, yeah.
It had to be random to fit within the canon so that we could get Wolverine in there with Deadpool.
Yeah. But I think he pulled it off.
I think so too. And
I really enjoyed it. I love Ryan Reynolds.
I know.
Nothing could make me hate him like right now, like the way that it's so random. He's just cooked to Blake. Like, I don't think that's any reason to poo-poo on him.
Yeah, I know. I didn't put it on my list. Because I think I loved the experience of the film, but I don't know if I want to watch it again.
Mm. Yeah.
But I loved that, like, it felt like Marvel was coming back. Like,
it did.
They hit a home run.
They did. Marvel Jesus.
Marvel Jesus. I forgot about that. Also, our outfits. We just had such a fun day that day at Comic-Con.
Yeah, and there are a lot of great jokes in that movie that are still funny. It's like the cameos are just not the same after the first time.
Well, I mean, I think I still would die at the Chris Evans.
Still funny. still great. And there's a lot of quips from Deadpool that you don't catch the first time because there's so many and we were laughing. So every time you're laughing, you miss the next one because it's too fast.
Okay.
All right. All right. All right. All right. All right. Number two.
My number two, guys. No one would see this coming.
Most of them coming.
My number two favorite film of 2024 is Alien Romulus.
What the fuck? What? Why? What the fuck?
Okay.
When did you talk about loving this movie?
Alex and I saw it in, May when it came out? Okay, but I think I talked about this. Alex made me rewatch all of the Alien movies. We had to rewatch. He made me rewatch them together in like April and May, probably May and June. I don't remember when this movie came out. Was it August? I don't remember. And we had a great time rewatching all these films because these were the movies, like the first action movie, one of the first action, like scary movies we watched with our mom and our parents and explained it to us. And I hadn't rewatched them since I was young. And Alex was, as we were watching, he's like, oh yeah, this was like my sick movie. Like when I was home from school, and, like, you know, I wasn't home with him, so I didn't know. And so we had a really good time going through the movies. Okay. And then Alien kind of took a turn when they did like the Prometheus films. I never liked them. They always made me nauseous. I thought they were scary. However, I did, now looking back on it, Sigourney Weaver was one of the first like female action.
Yeah, Paul always talks about it.
And I never really got it, right? Until I got older and I understood what that meant. And it was, you know, James Cameron.
Yep.
Just put everything into her. It's amazing and it's cool. So we went in to go see Alien Romulus.
And Ridley Scott.
Ridley Scott.
The first one.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So we went in to go see Alien Romulus. And this is with Kaylee Spaney, who's in Civil War, and the guy who's in Shadow and Bone. And there's all these little elements of it that I really like, because we now are now following a new young female action hero in it. So it has stuff from the original Alien, but in a more, I think, developed world. And I just thought the whole storytelling, and I think Kaylee Spaney really just gave us such an incredible performance in the movie. That, and like some of these action sequences were so good and so like you're just on the edge of your seat and you're just like, oh my God, this is amazing. So I just really enjoyed it. And I think like as a woman watching it, and who, this is very important to me when I see films and I feel a certain way, and to see her like succeed and have success, I really love this film because of those aspects of it. Mm-hmm. And I just think the vibes of the film, the way it was shot, just the sets and the costuming, it all felt really cohesive. I liked it. This is my number two film.
Good. That's awesome. Mm-hmm. All right. Do you have any idea what my number two is? Don't look at anything.
I'm like looking.
Don't look. Never mind. I'll just tell you that.
Is it? It ends with us. Did you put that on your list at all?
No, I did not put it on my list. I actually didn't have that on my list. So 49 movies.
Okay. What is
it? All right. My number two movie is The Fall Guy with Ryan Gosling and Emily Blunt. It was so fucking good.
It was so good.
So funny. This was going to be my funniest movie, but I didn't actually. I wanted to let it have its day right here at number two. This film was so unexpected, too. Mm-hmm. I feel like it came out of nowhere. And it follows a stunt guy, and you learn so much about the stunt world, which I love, because they never get to shine, really. We never get to hear about how they work and how everything happens in their world.
Believe that it's on they're not nominated at all. Like they,
anyways, I can believe it, because they just brush off comedy like it means nothing. Like it wasn't hard to make all this stuff work, and they have so many amazing stunt sequences.
Yes.
And it just like that keep going. And there's this one sequence with Ryan, like on this rotating car going down the street. That's so good. And he looks so good in this movie.
He does.
He's so funny. And Emily and him have great back and forth. Like, I can't wait to watch it again. This is another one that we had so much fun. I went with you and Alex to go see Fall Guy. And I came out of that theater being like, fuck yeah. Like, that was awesome. And it was hilarious. And I can't wait to watch it again, but I haven't let myself yet because I'm like, but it was so fun when I saw it at the theater.
I didn't put this on my list because I was like, I think Christine is going to talk about this in some way or fashion. I just know you, and I am like, you know what? Because we have a top 10, I will allow hers to also be on my list. So I'm glad you brought it up, because I was like, I loved the movie, but I always try to think about like the films that like maybe leave me with like a lasting, I don't know.
This film leaves me with a lasting appreciation for so many things.
That's true.
It was just, it also, yeah, it was just like put together so well. The pacing was great. And I mean, like, it's hard to make a good comedy. Mm-hmm. And they pulled off a really great comedy action movie that also like teaches us a lot about a world that we never see and do, and had a lot of heart. Yeah.
Yeah. I still think about that scene where Aaron Taylor Johnson like has him tied up and he's like, you need to eat carbs. That's what your brain runs on. It's carbs.
I don't even remember that. I remember like him walking out of the water. Like the boat. I have to watch it again. I'm excited to see it again. Mm-hmm. I've learned so much about the stunt world this past year because there was also a plot line in Only Murders in the Building with Sue from Glee. She's a stunt double and we really dig into her world in this season. And it's so fascinating. Like I knew more about it because of Fall Guy. So like the verbiage that they use and stuff, they have their own. Yeah, that's fun.
Oh, Fall Guy, number two. All right.
We've made it to the top movie of 2024.
What do you think it is?
I think we both had the same. Should we say it at the same time?
I think we say it at the same time.
Ready?
Yeah.
One, two, three.
Wicked!
Yeah, Wicked. Best movie of 2024.
Of course it is.
Holy shit.
This movie like took over my life.
Dude. And I had such low expectations and it was so fucking good.
I think I was just so scared of it, like them messing it up. I was so scared of so many factors, like not like the least of it all, just the colorization of it. But then Ariana Grande, I was like, oh God. And then like the whole scandal with her and Buck. But
nothing can touch this movie.
No.
I feel like all of that falls away. It's its own. They created their own universe and successfully in every aspect.
Yeah. And I just like, it's one of the, like the films in a while where I just want to step into the world and like experience it where like, I want to go visit Oz. Like I want to go visit,
the school.
Yeah. And
shiz.
And I haven't had that like feeling in a long time. And just,
yeah, I haven't wanted to visit a place like that since Hogwarts.
Yeah. I was going to say Harry Potter.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. It's the set designs were spectacular. The music is spectacular. The editing, like the pacing, it didn't feel long to me at all. It's what, 3 hours?
In fact, I wish it was longer where we could have all those scenes with them being friends. Like, I feel like that's my only critique is I wanted more.
It was funny. It was heartwarming. It was, you know, upsetting. Bald.
So many tears.
So much is relatable. The chemistry between the actors, the dancing, the choreo. Took on a world of its own on TikTok. And then we had another movie this year, which is so crazy to think about.
It's gonna hurt me.
This is like, this movie made me like Ariana Grande.
I didn't think that was ever going to happen, but it did.
It has happened. I feel like I have like a lot more empathy for her now than I ever knew before. Even though she's got a lot of weird shit in her past. She's just like so genuine in a lot of these interviews.
Yes, because it feels like she's actually truly become herself instead of putting on, like, an I do act, feel like a little bit like she has a little bit of Glinda still in her, but I feel like she's closer to Glinda than what she was doing in the past. But oh my God, even like the press tour, the outfits, the red carpet looks, the viral clips of like holding space
for Defying Gravity lyrics. The finger grabs. And if you listen to like Cynthia Erivo, her interview on Armchair, she talks about how like Ariana is a very, like her love language is touch. So she just always wants like a hand on her, or she'll put a hand on you when she's like trying to, you know, show that she cares and her support. So that's what all those like finger touches are about.
My favorite thing is watching them. I know Ariana was just on the Graham Norton show with Reese and Will Ferrell.
Yes.
And she explained the whole holding space again.
Yeah. Well, she's like, I didn't know what was going on. I was just trying to be supportive.
she's like, I just felt like I needed to be there for her. And I just grabbed the finger. And yeah. I don't know what the tap, I don't know what the tapping was. But just connection, tension.
Did you see Reese telling her story on the William Grant on the Graham
Norton show?
Graham Norton show.
Did I remind me?
I sent it to you on TikTok. She was telling a story, and I can't even remember what it is now.
Oh, it was a lawyer story.
Elle Woods. Yeah. Mm-hmm. She was on jury duty, and everyone was like, she should lead because she went to law school. And she's like, no. I played a lawyer once in a movie. And Will Ferrell just had like really funny two cents about the dog that was on trial for her jury duty.
Yes. The dog biting scandal.
But did you also see on Variety had Ariana Grande in one of those compilations where they did a dramatic reading of Sabrina Carpenter's Espresso?
Mm-hmm. I watched the whole thing.
And she opened it and they didn't show any of her. She showed her one measly clip of her.
I was like, why are there so many people in this?
I know.
Okay, but also there was another Variety clip that did Please, Please, Please.
Yeah, I saw that one too.
And Andrew Garfield and Demi Moore like knocked that out of the park.
Yes.
And everyone else was like just kind of like meh. But like Demi Moore, I felt it from her and Andrew.
And also like these reading of the lyrics really highlight the little ingenious puns that she puts everywhere throughout every one of her songs.
Yes.
Yeah.
You know who they showed a lot in that video with Ariana was Saoirse Ronan.
Yeah. Saoirse. Saoirse, damn it.
Saoirse Ronan.
Oh my God. I can never say her name. I hate it. Oh my God. I can't get it through my brain.
Oh my God. When I did press for the host and I had to like drill it into my brain.
Saoirse. My brain just wants to, it sees the S-A-I-O and I'm like, Saoirse. Oh man. Anyway. What were we talking about?
Wicked.
Wicked is fantastic. We're excited for more. I'm a little scared for the second half because I know that part of the show wasn't as fun.
But we will get more Jonathan Bailey.
Yeah, we'll get. I think it'll be more fun because we love the way that it's portrayed on film.
Mm-hmm. Oh yeah, just the story.
Way more character.
It's just way more meant. Story. The story is meant for film.
For film, yeah.
We love
it's meant
stage.
To be seen. We want to see all of the world, mm-hmm. and we really get that on film.
Well, it's funny because I was like, I've only ever really loved Popular and Defying Gravity from the stage performance. Like, those are the songs that I always will listen to. But now I love all the songs.
Did you not listen to For Good and stuff?
I listened. What's the other one?
That what is this feeling?
No, I never listened to any of those.
I didn't listen to What Is This Feeling. I listened to
For Good.
For Good. Yeah.
But that was the
Better Together playlist.
But like The Wizard and I could care less. Never knew that song when Heather sang it on karaoke. Now, love it. Because Cynthia Erivo. Mm-hmm.
She really put more life into it for me.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah.
All right. Well, those were our Fangirl Academy Awards 2024 edition. We'd love to hear any of your top five. If they weren't on our top five, please recommend them to us. I have to go watch Damsel and the Stranger movie that you...
All of the Strangers.
All the Strangers.
Did I watch everything on your list?
Maybe. I can't. Did you say you hadn't seen any of them? I think you've seen them all.
Yeah.
For Your Monster, I have to watch too. Yeah. But yeah, recommend stuff to us. Comment on our Instagram at Those Forking Fangirls or on the YouTube video, youtube.com/ThoseForkingFangirls. We want to hear your thoughts. Mm-hmm. All right, we're going to roll on into Marry, Kiss, Cliff.
All right.
All right.
Mary Kiss Cliff Christine. This is Glenn Powell edition.
Yes.
So Glenn Powell in Twisters. Glenn Powell in Hitman.
Yes.
Glenn Powell in Anyone But You.
This is so hard because Glenn Powell is so great in all of these movies.
But you're going to get a Glenn Powell either way. So
I know.
Which one's the best?
If it's Glenn Powell at the end of Hitman, Glenn Powell and Anyone But You, Bone Twister. Like, which one do I even cliff? I love them all. Okay, I'm going to do Glenn Powell and Hitman as Mary.
Wow.
Since I really fell in love with him in that movie. Mm-hmm. And then, Glenn Powell and Twisters. I'm going to kiss. And Glenn Powell and Anyone But You, I guess I'll cliff. I don't know. What are you going to do?
Well, Glenn Powell in Twisters has a fun job that I think would be a ride.
I would be so frightened to have my husband chasing fucking Twisters all the time.
Yeah, but he looks really hot in a cowboy hat.
Oh my god.
So I'm gonna marry Glenn Powell and Twisters.
Okay.
And then I think I'm gonna kiss Glenn Powell and Hitman because it's kind of fun. He's got all these like little disguises.
Yeah.
Who is gonna show up
lots
as
lots of different accents.
Yeah. And then I guess I can cliff get Glenn Powell and Anyone But You.
He's just like the least interesting.
He's very sweet in that though, but they've got their issues.
Yeah. Yeah. He's got his commitment issues or she has her commitment issues. I forget. All right. Well, that is our show today. Next week, join us for the Fangirl Razzies. They're coming.
I've got a list.
I haven't made mine yet. I have to make my list. But our show is edited by Emma Vigard, Natasha Polis, Christine Riggio, and Alex Polis. And our music is by Cole Jenkins with vocals by Heather Traska. Our socials are run by Chloe Laverson. She's fantastic. So make sure you're following us on at Those Forking Fangirls on Instagram. That's where we post the most, but also on TikTok at Those Forking Fangirls. And then, of course, we're on YouTube, youtube.com/@ThoseForkingFangirls. Don't forget to check out the Patreon because we'd love for you to join our community over there. And your help is so appreciated in our everyday lives because we do this as a viewer-supported show. Mm-hmm. And we release new episodes every Friday. We're off to go record Fangirl Tea Time. My name's Christine.
I'm Natasha.
And we'll see you next time. Bye, everybody.
Bye-bye.